Hello, lovely people. Welcome to another episode of the Filming Life Unfiltered podcast. I am Kylie. I'm here today without Courtney, but with a really, really special guest, a extremely talented filmmaker and photographer from Boston in the US. She's also a Filming Life pro and one of our deeply valued mentors in the Filming Life Academy, and her name is Amy Murgatroyd. Thank you for coming and talking to us, Amy.
I appreciate being here. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to extend this conversation.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, in addition to all of that I just said, Amy was also one of our speakers at the very first Unfiltered retreat that took place in August 2023 here in Australia in the Blue Mountains. Amy traveled all the way from the US, and I know that it's a very long trip from the East Coast. It's a good 24 hours plus of travel. We were so thankful that you agreed to make the trip and that you came. And I think, you know, the talk that you gave just really, you know, it was just amazing. It was our closing talk. So it was just, it was a perfect way to end the retreat. What did you think of Australia, Amy? How was your trip?
Because
I know you had some holidays afterwards, didn't you?
Yeah, sure did. Yeah, we did a little traveling around with another couple that joined us. Unfiltered just blew me away. I really didn't come with expectations. I kind of came, my only expectation was to come and kind of be poured out on behalf of the attendees as a speaker, to just be really present with them in the portfolio reviews and the editing demo, as well as my talk, and not to really arrive with any needs or expectations about what I could learn. And yet I left like a wet sponge. Like, I had just absorbed so much from that time. And the learning, Kylie, was so unique to the retreat, and that it really wasn't geared for new photographers. I've attended so many photography conferences and have felt that like they were a little played out for me, that, you know, maybe had maximized most of the learning in all honesty, and that now I'm in that practice phase of life and business where you just like, you know, you just grind, you just like keep at your art, improving it. What I appreciate is just the diversity of speakers that you brought to that table, and how much the speakers learned from the attendees. The meals were like, the learning never stopped, because we had these community meals and we were constantly sitting with new people. You're getting exposure to business practices. And just approaches to client experience and other things. And it was never these superficial conversations. Like, they were just those like deeply enriched conversations, the kinds that leave you wanting more and leave you feeling stretched. And so I left blown away. Like, never did I expect as a speaker to come away with such like a full heart and full head.
I think even for Courtney and I, it ended up being more than we expected. Like, it was, you know, and I think, you know, as you said about how it wasn't really for beginners, and that was really intentional on our part. We, you know, there are so many workshops and things out there for beginners that are, you know, teaching people how to shoot, or, you know, for people who are in maybe like only their first few years running a business. There's so much out there for people, but there's really not much at all for those of us who have been in business for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years, you know, like, and it's really hard sometimes to find support, because, you know, a lot of the groups on Facebook and, you know, around the place are geared for those more beginner people. And so it's hard to find the community and the support that you need when you do get further along in your business. And it comes these questions that, you know, aren't really relevant to people in year one or year two, but people in year six, seven, eight, nine can, you know, help you with or relate to. So we were really intentional with that. We really wanted to make it for people who have kind of been there for a while, they've been doing it, and want to stretch themselves. And maybe potentially, you know, when you do reach that point, like once you get to year six, year seven, year eight, you know, you do start to sometimes question what you're doing. You know, you've been doing the same thing, and yes, it's working, and maybe it's successful, or maybe it's not, maybe it's stopping being so successful or whatever. But you do start to, you know, as we grow as humans and our businesses evolves and we evolve, you might start to think, oh, you know, is this really what I want to do? Do I want to keep doing things like this? Do I want to change them? Yeah. And you know, often when you're so in the thick of running your business and you're busy, you don't get a chance to step back and think about that. So we really wanted that retreat to give people that space and that time and expose them to different thoughts and ideas and just have the opportunity to sit with other photographers who are at your same level or, you know, very close, a little bit ahead of you or a little bit behind you, and have those conversations. And we were very intentional too with the meals. We wanted every single meal to be included in the price of the ticket so that everybody would come together and sit, because we know from our own experiences that that's where some of the best conversations happen. That's where some of the best learning happens.
Yeah, that's where you're processing what you heard. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even if you're not talking about business and you just talk, like, you know, everybody that was there was, you know, or just about everybody had children at one age or another, like the age range of the children of people who were there were quite large. So it was really great to also get that perspective of what it's like to be a photographer and a mum in business and how that affects your children or your parenting, or, you know, just how it goes in terms of documenting your own life when your children are at varying ages. It was just really, so great. Like the conversations
It felt like a sisterhood, and I really do. I think, you know, like attracts like, and so I credit a lot of that to you and Courtney and the type of artists you attract, like the empathetic thinking, you know, deeply feeling artist. And each of those dear women, I feel like my souvenirs now, you know, that I just like, I take them home. I literally brought them home in my heart to the United States. And it's honestly the last and possibly the only retreat I'll ever, you know, not the last I hope to return, but it would be the only retreat I could see myself attending at this point, because it just set that bar so high for me in terms of meeting felt needs I didn't know I had.
Yeah. And I think that was a big theme of it. I think a lot of people said the same thing. They're like, I didn't realize the things that I needed until I came, and then I was getting it. There's a lot of pressure now with 2024. Obviously, we're just about to launch tickets next week. So for those who are listening and they're not sure, it's the end of October while we're chatting, putting that in there so that if you're listening to this later on, you're just like, hang on a minute, what's going on? So we are gearing up to launch tickets for next week, and Courtney's been in the US for the last few weeks. So this week is going to be early next week will be a mad scramble of, you know, finalizing plans and, you know, getting everything ready. But we're so excited to just provide that experience for people again, and not just for people who are new, who didn't come to the first one, but for those who are going to come back as well. We know that a lot of people really, really, you know, they've added that as now their annual thing to the calendar. So we're really excited to, you know, have that experience again. And like, I can't wait. I know Courtney can't wait. We're both so excited.
I know. And I'll just put out there, if you live in this state, it's like budget for this. If it means you only attend, you know, one retreat or conference in the next 2 years, make it this one. I think the travel's so worth it. You'll see a corner of the world that is just brilliant and beautiful, and be so glad you did.
Yeah. I traveled to the US for a conference, and it was definitely like
there it is.
One of the best investments I ever made. Like, hands down. So one of the things that I think really set the tone for the retreat was the speakers that we had and the things that they spoke about. And, you know, having the speakers involved, like the speakers weren't just speakers and they did their talk and then they disappeared. Like, you guys were active participants. You weren't just speakers, you were attendees as well. You're active participants. But mm-hmm. I think, you know, the talks that we gave were so interesting, and they were also different, but there was definitely like themes and threads that kind of connected them all. I especially loved your talk, and I loved how your talk really affected everybody who listened and really opened some minds. So for a lot of people there, the concept that you spoke about was not something that they'd ever thought about or heard before. And in many ways it goes, it's the complete opposite of what we've been, complete opposite of what we've been told as business people and marketers and social media and all the rest of it. For me, it wasn't a new concept, because you and I have spoken about this before. Mm. We did a podcast together in 2021, where that was the first time you kind of introduced me to this concept. And it, that conversation that we have had, and that way that you thought about clients, has stuck with me. And so maybe just for those who haven't listened to that first one or weren't at the retreat, just explain, like, what was your talk about? It was called Moving Beyond the Ideal Client. So just give our listeners an idea of, you know, what that means.
Yeah. I'll lead off by saying I'm not contrarian by nature. Like, it is not like me at all to like go against the grain or be countercultural. I'd much rather sit in a corner and be silent and, you know, silently disagree. And but there is just this melody in my heart, honestly, for our industry. And it's born on the back of some hard experiences that I forged for myself in business. I think we're all familiar with the ideal client. Like, as a photographer or filmmaker, you'd have to live under a rock not to have heard of it, right? And it's certainly open to interpretation, but it's just tossed around so lightly as you know, a path to success and fulfillment in business. And I think I've just had, my story has been written such that it's caused me to call that into question. And I think this song for the industry is just to call us to consider, are we the ideal photographers and filmmakers for the client, you know, to almost flip the narrative.
Yeah.
It's so easy to think about, you know, who's that ideal client for me? But how often are we looking internally to question, are we the ideal, you know, photographer for them? In the same way that marriage and parenting has been such a mirror to me in terms of my own flaws and blind spots, right? I feel like my business has been that. It's really shined a light into some sort of dark places. And we got to talk about that in my talk. It was collaborative, you know, there's some interaction. And I really tried to come at it from this approach that, like, I'm just not ideal myself. I shared from my own failings, you know, I listed the like experiences I've had on the job and in sessions where I have fallen short of my clients' expectations. And yet it's my default as a human who wants what I want to hold expectations over my clients. And how unfair is that? I've disappointed theirs, and yet they're supposed to live up to mine. And, and I have to leave space here. You know, I think the ideal client is actually a really useful tool for paid marketing. Like, that is a case where I absolutely ascribe to, that ideal client notion. When I transitioned my business, my photography business, to films, you bet that those paid advertisements on Instagram and Facebook were checking boxes, right? Certain demographics.
Yeah. Yep. Because you've got to target the right people. Yeah, so it's shown to the right people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Even places they lived, because I know that the investment of a film is something they could afford. Our starting assumption is that if they're a client, that you have really two expectations for them. By definition, a client sees value in your work and is willing to pay what you ask. In addition, I think they have to be courteous. Honestly, like, that's just a baseline assumption here that that client who's hired you is courteous, right? And respectful of you, of your work, of your time, those things. So we all need those healthy boundaries. I think the breaking points in business are always going to be like how valued we feel as the, you know, the artist, and how valued the client feels. So, so that sets it up a little bit. I think when I'm, just trying to flip the narrative a little bit and encourage us to look at the things that sort of undergird our notions of ideal client. And I am so grateful that I move in circles, honestly, where ideal client isn't defined in the old fashioned way. It's like when I first learned about ideal client, the photographer who taught the course defined her ideal client as the J. Crew clad yuppies of the world who are privately educated and live in this best suburb in town, you know, and that, that was her actual distillation of her ideal client, verbatim. Right from her slide. And we've come so far. Aren't we just like more progressive and like open-minded and open-hearted? I'm so grateful that we don't sort of have that lowest common denominator. But the fact is that we do bring so many expectations into that relationship. You know, I'm sure we can name them.
I think one of the things that's missing sometimes when we talk about our ideal client, and probably particularly, you know, maybe for those who are in the earlier stages of their business, it's probably how to go about it. You probably don't start to think about it till you've been in it for a little while. But I think, I think sometimes what's missing from that conversation is about the ideal client is, yes, of course, obviously we're running businesses, so we want to make money and it's about making money. And what's the point of doing it if you're not making money? Like, yes, 100%. Let's get that out of the way. Yes, we're here to make money.
100%.
But there's also that flip side of it that is like with the ideal client, it comes back to like your why of why you do your job. And I think sometimes, you know, that's an equation that we don't really think about it. And so we go, well, what is the purpose of my business? Who am I trying to serve? Because at the end of the day, it is a service business. We're serving customers. They're coming to us for a need and we're serving that. And the people that will come to us for very different reasons. Based on, you know, what they see that we're putting out there or whatever. And so I think that, you know, your idea of thinking about, you know, am I the ideal client for, am I the ideal photographer for them is such a great way to kind of flip that in your mind and think about, you know, what kind of service do I want to provide? Who are the kinds of people that I want to serve? And how can I move beyond just that kind of, surface level or whatever to really get to the heart of, you know, why it is that I run my business and what I'm really giving the people who come to me and spend their money with me. And I think that's really at the heart of what you talk about. It's how can I best serve the people that come for me? And so it's great to have this idea of, you know, who those people might be or whatever, but it's also, I think, you know, it's about having that open mind that maybe, you know, maybe they don't look the way that I thought they would, or they don't look in, they don't live in the suburb that I thought they would. And, you know, not letting those things limit you from saying yes to being able to provide a really great service that that person can get from you. And
And I'll mention what we can get from them too, that when we have that sort of open-hearted, receptive posture, you know, not only are we imprinting on the client, so often, you know, we're thinking about how they make us look, but we're not thinking about how we imprint on them and ways that we can encourage their hearts, right? But in turn, like, we stand to learn something about ourselves in this process. Like, my I don't use this term, but the non-ideal client by other, you know, some standards, and by that I mean not just like, maybe they have small dark houses or live in the wrong part of town. I'm talking like clients, my clients who don't express emotion easily, maybe aren't, you know, super connected for the camera, not at all chill, but tightly wound, you know, like I'm talking about these intangibles, the ones that feel really important to us as family yeah. filmmakers. I'm even taking to task, and here's why. I truly believe that it's my non-ideal clients, the ones I have to work a little harder for, that shape me in the most beautiful ways. I gave the example in the talk of that client who I gave two examples of two clients, both ideal, both so very different, and how the one has been so formative for me in two ways. She's was the first to embrace films, and she books me twice a year for a full length film, which is mind blowing. Who needs two a year? And then secondly, you know, it was her experience with a photographer dad that has informed how I approach my girls, my growing girls, with a camera, and my willingness to set it down to be present with them because of what she taught me. On the book, like on the surface, this would not be an ideal client in terms of like, it would feel like a mismatch. And my heart embraces her. And then what she's given me is far and above, more for me, more shaping than anything I gave her, which amounts to digital files and that, you know, 6-minute video this year. So, I think my hope is in this whole conversation is not that anyone feels a hand slap or like a judgment. You know, I think what I want is them, you know, when they send that last gallery and they push back from their desk, I want them to have like the deepest fulfillment, knowing that their business fulfilled its purpose and brought, you know, beauty and goodness to this world. And that's what I think we're all trying to do. Never would I question motives. I think the photographers are working so hard this time of year that here in the States it's fall and we are just grinding right now. Everybody is so well intentioned. Like these photographers have beautiful hearts. They mean so well by their clients. I think in the execution of how we do our jobs, my business and somebody else's business would look pretty much identical, right? In the sort of like the respect offered even those non-ideal clients during a session when everything's unraveling and we know what that's like. Things hit the fan fast in family, you know, photography and filmmaking. So I'm questioning down the road. I'm like, let's think about 10 years from now, how you're doing if you're approaching a session, expecting so that your clients bring so much. And we even talked in my talk about how, are we really deserving of like 3 paragraphs of thanks from our clients? It sure feels nice, but even that's an expectation I've learned to take to task. And just before we started,
you say that because that was something that, you know, I know I've struggled with, and I know a lot of photographers, you know, you send a gallery, you send a film, you don't hear anything back. Sometimes, for a long time,
and 20-hour edits.
That used to really get to me. And then after we had our chat in 2021, I flipped the way that I thought about that. And so now when I send out a gallery or I send out a film, I'm not like thinking, oh, I hope they think it's great, or I hope, you know, I'm not wanting feedback from them that's going to validate like how good I am and how good I made the film or whatever. Now, when I'm sending it with this hope that I hope it's everything they wanted for their family. Like, I hope it's what they need for their family. I hope my hope when I send these things off is that, you know, this will be something that I hope I've managed to meet their expectation that it will be something they treasure for years to come and are proud to show to their children, not because of how I've made it, but because of what it shows their children of them as a parent in that film. It's kind of taken it off me so much, and I think it's definitely improved me as a filmmaker as well, because I'm not walking in there like you said. You spoke about how you go in as like a blank slate. You know, it's easy to have these ideas and a shot list and all the things that you want to capture and how you want to do it. And then you walk in and like nothing goes to plan and it's different than you expect. Whereas if you walk in with no expectations, then you're open to what happens and to allow them to be where they're at and then just capture that for them. And it's really kind of flipped my thinking. And I think that's something that is you know, I think it's a great way. I think it makes us better in how we serve our clients when we take our ego out of the equation. And bring it back to the why of why we do it and why we want to serve these clients.
Absolutely. Yeah. We talked about how fear and self-importance could be, it's not prescriptive, it's just possibly descriptive. In my own experience, shall I say, fear and self-importance is what was driving my notion of an ideal client at the heart. And so we kind of followed, tracked those roots. But I love what you shared there, Kylie, and the ways that you're, it's so courageous to be humble. It's so courageous and so hard to stay small in our picture, right? Like, especially when we're creating art from a very deep place and it feels so deeply personal to us. Like, it's like giving birth, you know, in a sense, we're incarnating this work and it feels like our child by the time we've, you know, delivered. And if they say that, you know, it's like, if they don't say that child's beautiful, it's like, you're calling my baby ugly. You don't like my baby. So it's like, you have to release that, you know? And I think in doing that, there is freedom. And I think I crave that freedom. I'm part of so many conversations with photographers that are, I think, struggling to love. They love the work. They love the creative process. But it's like the clients just keep getting in the way, in a sense, you know, and they wouldn't say it that way. And I don't think that's how, I don't mean to be unfair. It's just is how it comes across maybe, or how I'm interpreting. And I think we go into business with these, you know, beautiful, with this beautiful purpose and these ideals, shall we say, of preserving moments and memories for these clients, because we see humanity as art. Like, we see souls as something beautiful, but over time, and this is why I loved Unfiltered, because I got to speak to experienced, super talented photographers. Over time, we can build up a bit of a callus around our heart where it becomes more about, like, clients become a means of our self-expression. And no longer are we seeing them as art in and of themselves. And I don't think that I can entirely blame the ideal client construct on that. You know, I don't think, you know, I think that there are some valuable aspects to the ideal client. I just think it's a contributor. And I think that for too long, our industry has just kind of nodded and agreed with the ideal client, but not really questioned it. And ways that it erodes sort of that clarity of vision that we need maybe as photographers.
And I think too, you know, a lot of it comes down to, like, you know, being conscious of making a decision about, like, what kind of business do you want to run? How do you want to serve your clients in a certain way? And understanding and accepting that if you want to run it in this way, that's absolutely the way you should run it. And if you want to run it in this way, that's the way you should run it. Like, there's no one right way to run a business. Right. If you just completely want to get in, if you want to get in and photograph your clients and provide a certain type of service and just focus on, you know, this or that, absolutely 100%. But I think it's about just making sure that people make conscious decisions around that. I know some photographers who they love to be able to, they love their work. They love what they do. Yeah. But when they go home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, they don't want to think about photography or they don't want to think about anything else. And and then there are other people who want to run a job where, you know, it's not just, you know, working the 9 to 5, they're doing it at different times. And both ways are so valid. Exactly. Yeah. And I think what it comes down to is that taking the time to sit and think and decide, you know, what is it that I want? And am I running my business in that way? And the best way that serves me and the best way that serves my family and the best way that serves my clients. And that's not going to look the same for anyone. You know, and I think it's just that understanding of knowing, you know, where you want to be at and then 100% claiming that. But I think you touched on something there about, particularly for photographers who have been in the business for a while, and that feeling of, you know, the clients almost getting in the way or building up that callus around, you know, like they just become another bit of product in our business or whatever. I liken it, I think, a little bit to, I think anyone that's had a baby knows what it's like to go into a hospital and deal with the midwives in a hospital. And there's a very big, broad range of midwives, and you've got midwives who haven't been doing it for very long, and then you've got midwives who have been doing it for very long. And there's a in the cohort of midwives who have been doing it for a long time, there are two very distinctive types. There is the type who have never lost their wonder for it and their service, uh-huh. and then there are the types who it's just become it's no longer a calling. It's just a job. It's just a way to make money. And there's that kind of forgetting that for them, this might be the 1,000th baby they've delivered. Yeah. But for the woman in front of them, this is their first baby.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you notice that if you've had one baby or a couple of babies and you've dealt with midwives and you see those types. And I think that it's kind of like that with our business. It's the same for photographers as well. Like when we've been in our business for a while, it can be very easy to kind of be like, well, you know,
naturally,
like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's and so no I think finger pointing here. This is like a natural progression for, I think, any business owner, but you know, it's almost like a state of a union address for our businesses in the sense of like, I'm united with this business, but let's take a hard look at the roots of it and like, biases, prejudices that are influencing some of my, if not actual decisions, some of the ways that I bring into a session, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you're still going to book that troublesome client next year, you know, what biases and prejudices are you bringing in? Because really, like our clients deserve for us to check that at the door, that nurse who's overworked and has, you know, brought three other babies into the world that day has to check some of her fatigue at the door in order to celebrate this massive milestone with the family. And that's what our sessions feel like for our clients, are these massive milestones. Like they're begging to be seen, you know, as the soul flames they are, you know, we're all here for such a short time. We're all just these flickering soul flames. And they're like, just celebrate me, you know? And so when we think to ourselves, oh, you have older kids, I have no idea what to do with older kids, or, you know, I can't believe you put your kid in that character t-shirt, or, you know, like we're just setting ourselves up, you know, to not deliver, I think the best work we can. And even if like really our work is unaffected, and I think sometimes with experience, it won't be. It's sometimes deeper, right? The way that what gets eroded over time. Yeah. And I just feel gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I think, you know, that's really great, because I think, you know, you can look at it and you can go, and that's where coming back to like your why and like what kind of a service do I want to give my clients, and looking at like what's making you enjoy it. And if having your clients, you know, say having your clients look a certain way and dress in a certain way and have a certain location is what you love, then figure out how you can shape your business to provide that exact service for the clients who want it, and so that you're providing it in a way that brings you that gives you joy in that service to the clients. And it's the same thing where if that's not what you want to do, it's thinking about, well, you know, what do I want to provide those clients? And no matter how you run it and how you do it, looking deep inside, deciding, how are you going to best serve your clients? How are you going to do it so that you can serve them with an open heart and a happy heart, and not feel burnt out and not feel like your clients are a burden? Because once they do start to feel like a burden, you know, then people can feel that, you know, and that's when you can get that resistance and that hard bit, and things stop being fun. And what's the point of doing it if it's not fun, right?
No, I know. And even if they never feel it, Kylie, like we become disenchanted with their business because our business is the client. They're just it just goes hand in hand. So even if they never feel that from us, and you know, you pray they don't, because you know, you're a professional after all, So buck up and shoot the session the best you can. but like over time, I think what stands to road is just your enchantment with the business, because you've stopped to
and that's
really
where
appreciate the uniqueness and the individuality of the client. But I'm really glad, so glad you brought up that point, because I was sure to raise that in the talk of like, if you have a studio business and if you have a client closet and you really drill down on like your client guide, by all means do that. Like your clients are coming to you for exactly that visual voice. We need you at the table, bringing that art into the world. It's exactly what your clients want. Don't change a thing. That's not the message. The message is that everyone should be a documentary photographer and, you know, eager to, you know, photograph families and whatever they rolled out of that. That's not like the message. You do you. Yeah. But in the context of that, within the context of the business you've built and the visual voice you've established, like, just love them well, because we have so much more. Like we don't just create magic with ideal clients. If you say that, if you think that and believe it, then you're selling yourself short, because I know as a photographer, you have almost that second eye, right? Like that way of seeing so beautifully past the noise. I know as a photographer that you're a deep empath. And so you thus have a big heart. And I know as a photographer, especially experienced one, your art is more resilient than that. Don't sell yourself short. You can make magic with non-ideal clients. And that's where, that's the song in my heart. That's what I'm reluctantly saying out there as I like put it out and then like step back and wait for the.
And that's where I think knowing and being really clear on like how you want to serve your clients and how you want to serve them in a particular way is so important. So, you know, like take myself, for example. I am not a photographer who does incredible sunset shoots with beautiful client wardrobes and these amazing dresses. I am not that kind of person, but I have wanted those photos. And so I have seeked out a photographer that does that. And when you find the right one, and when they can look beyond me, who's, you know, wearing my bright pink and, you know, got my bright pink hair and it's crazy and all the rest of it. And they can see me for who I am and understand the need that I have to have those photos, because it's because I want to see myself in the way that they see their clients. And the very best ones are able to provide an experience that makes me feel comfortable doing it, and that makes me into that. That in the end, I am their ideal client, I guess, but not, you know, in that way. Do you know what I mean? It's like not closing yourself off to someone like me who you might look at and go, woof. I don't know about that.
Not me. They'd be crazy, but now I know what you're saying. Absolutely. Yeah.
And
I feel that way with older kids. I feel like I'm not everyone's ideal client anymore with older kids. And that's hard to come to terms with. So
The best photographers who are able to do that are the ones who have taken that step back and taken that time to really examine, you know, what it is that you know, how can I be the ideal photographer for the people that seek me out? And that idea that instead of thinking about our ideal clients, we think about how can we be people's ideal photographer for what they're seeking in that moment. And it's different all the time. And even for the same person, they might want a particular type of thing one year, and then they might want something different the next year.
Yeah,
I think it's such a that we could talk about it for days and days and days. It's such a broad, a broad topic. But I think it's one of the things that why your talk was so loved and unfiltered, because, you know, it is thinking about it in a way that's different to how we've always been told to think about it by, you know, experts and marketing people and, you know, all the rest of it. And it's sometimes uncomfortable to think that, oh, maybe I could do things differently. And I know sometimes when I read something and if I feel a particular kind of resistance to it, that's when I know I need to actually like dig a little deeper and go, well, hang on a minute. Why is that kind of irking me? Why is that idea irking me? And you know, what kind of little truth nugget is in there maybe that I can take away. And I know like from when we first spoke of our podcast and you spoke about this idea of, you know, being a blank slate and not caring about whether we get instant feedback from our clients about how much they love things and whatnot, that really convicted me, you know, and I thought about it for a long time and I thought, well, why is this? And I realized because, you know, for me, my ego was, that was, you know, getting in the way. And it's something that, you know, it was uncomfortable to sit with when I first started thinking about it. And for other people, it might be something different. It might be a different thing that, you know, because we hear words and we hear ideas and we put our own perspective and life experience on it. And so we may be convicted in different ways, but that's what I love about, you know, particularly when you spoke at Unfiltered, is because it gave people just something to think about and something to really mull over. And Unfiltered was the perfect space for that, because then they also had that time to like talk about it and talk about how they were feeling with other photographers who are at a similar point in their careers and in their experiences and things. So yeah,
I was worried about, you know, I hoped for soft hearts. I was so worried about how I'd be received, because again, you don't want to come off accusatory. That's not at all the message. I'm longing for their fulfillment, and I've learned, I described it as a detour sign. I'm like, listen, I have made some massive mistakes, and I gave stories to support that. And here's this me holding a detour sign, like, to avoid these mistakes. I've found such joy and freedom and deep fulfillment in embracing this. And I feel free to create. I'm freed from like the fear of, you know, whether they like my work. I just trust that if they've come to me and they see me worthy of their investment, their hard-earned dollars, that, and knowing myself well enough that I'm going to, you know, do the best work I can, that, that it's going to work out. It usually does. But I will say that, like, you just said that it was, you used words like convicting or hard to hear. And let me tell you that my own words are hard to hear. I shared just before we hit record on this podcast that it's been a rough 2 months since Unfiltered. It kind of felt like everything I shared and everything I'm saying here was put to the test. It has been a really rough go. I've had a tough fall of, it's been pretty breathless. So I'm shooting a lot and I'm just weary, but also I've had some challenging sessions, quite honestly. A lot of them have felt like family therapy, where you're just facing that headwind and you're just trying to make the pieces come together, and I'm dual shooting photos and films. And so I'm already multitasking like crazy. And now I'm dealing with a dear boy who's terrified of airplanes, and we're only 5 miles from an airfield, you know, who's melting down every 5 minutes. And you know what? What does that do for me though? Like, as I'm going through this fall and I'm having one difficult challenge after another, I even disappointed a client 2 weeks ago because I didn't reschedule an indoor home shoot on a rainy day. And she was just really grieved about that. And so I'm trying to make up for that. And that hurts my heart. I want to meet her expectations. And yet again, I'm reminded humbly how I failed her. I failed her, and I, you know, have failed other clients, and that breaks my heart. But what those experiences do are so shaping for me. And it would be really easy to write off the family with this, anxiety ridden boy, to be like, I can't work with this, right? Like, my art is more deserving of, you know, compliant kids, or, you know, like, things should flow better. Maybe I won't book them next year if I have lots of inquiries. I guess I'm challenging us to see it differently.
Yeah.
In showing up that night, I created a context for that anxiety to get hugged out of him. And at one point in the session, I just put my camera down and I said to him, I know you're having big feelings right now, and I'm okay with that. I want you to feel comfortable with me to express those big feelings. And I am so sorry that these scary planes keep going overhead. If we could jump in the car and get away from them, I would, but the sun is going down. You can show me how big your brave is if you feel like it, but if you don't feel it, you don't have to smile and you don't have to play along, you know, and just to be able to, to make that kid feel seen and accepted with my words and my presence, and also to have the mom hear those words. Like, I don't say this to pat myself on the back. I was so weary. I'm like, I just need one good, easy session, and I didn't get it. And that was hard. but it's shaping, and our clients are just gifts. They are dear gifts. And when we see that, it stands to change us as humans.
Yeah.
We have this incredible capacity to love. And my challenge for photographers is, like, just hang tight to that purpose that drove you into business. I really think that's what's gonna, it's not what your success will hinge on, right? You can have this crazy successful business and not listen to a word I say, but is that going to lead you to that deeper fulfillment we all long for in the work we produce?
It's such a, it can be so hard sometimes to think about, like, the long-term thing, like, what are we achieving? You know, like in your talk, you spoke about, like, when you finish that last film, when you finish that last gallery, knowing this is the last one you're ever going to do, like, how do you want to feel when that happens? What kind of a legacy? And it's such a, I think it's something that is very easy to not think about, but I think it's, you know, I'd never thought about that until you mentioned it at the retreat. And then, and again, it's something that's, it's percolated in my brain for the last couple of months. Like, what is that? Like, when all is said and done, when I make that last film for a family, what legacy do I want those films that I've made to have, you know?
I love that.
And it's not about, and at the end of the, for me, and I've really thought about, you know, it's not about me. I don't want the legacy to be about the films that I made and how good they were and how good a filmmaker I was or whatever. The legacy that I want those films to be is that they showed people, they are time capsules and they are visual records of people who existed, of people who were loved.
It's crazy powerful. Yeah.
And of people who will be, who will be missed when they're gone.
Yeah.
You know,
you're, like, you're contributing to, like, the record of humanity. It's just amazing.
I want them to be remembered. Yeah. And it's, you know, and that's not the same purpose for everyone, but for me, that's my purpose. And it was really, it's really, you know, helping me to think about, like, what I want to do going forward. How do I want to run this business? And so, yeah, I encourage people who are listening, you know, if you haven't thought about this before, you know, maybe have a think about it and see where those thoughts lead you. If something that you've heard us talk about is, you know, sparked something in you or you felt a bit of resistance to it, like, don't be scared of that. Like, sit down and examine it and think, you know, like, why am I resisting this and where could it lead me and how could it make the work that I produce better? How could it make how I run my business better? How could it make how I serve my clients better? And take what you need. I always say that, you know, running a business is like parenting. You know, there are a million different ways to do it and everybody has advice on the way to do it. And what you need to do is you need to listen to everything that you can and then just take the bits that speak to you.
Exactly.
And work for you.
And toss all of this if it doesn't. I think the challenge is just to, like, stay open maybe to varying viewpoints. I want to leave, like, with a story. It's this such strong imagery. I didn't get to share this story in the talk, so now it feels like there's a space. So, you know, Jenny in the network, in our Film and Life network, she's a fellow filmmaker out of Nashville. She had a session that just really spoke to my heart. And I asked, actually, if I would have permission to share it during the talk. And then I ran out of time. I never thought I could fill an hour and a half, and I did. Or nearly.
The time goes so much quicker than you think.
Wow. It was like something hit play in me and it's like I woke up at the end. But in any case, she had this session that has just stayed with me. She photographed this lovely woman, Bryson, young, beautiful, who was dying of an immune disorder. Basically, her body was like in constant anaphylaxis, right? So everything caused her body to just like overreact, go into like big inflammation. And in the call with this the mother of this woman, so I guess the mother was the client, and she booked her because her daughter was dying. the mother said, this is going to feel like a really unusual session. You're going to arrive, but you're going to need to take off your clothes. You're going to need to shower in Bryson's apartment. You're going to need to put on clothes that we've laundered in special detergents. You'll have to remove all hair products, makeup, and go into that session in that manner. That's the only way. Like, she's already hanging on to life, but
completely clean slate.
Completely. Like, it's the only way that you're going to spare her a reaction. Jenny, of course, was like, yes, like, sign me up. I'll do this. But that image for me of Jenny going into that session, and I have had these deathbed sessions, and they are shaping, informative, and they are amazing. I definitely recommend, like, nothing will like till the soil of your heart like that, because that veil is so thin between the here and the hereafter. But in any case, so that image for me of Jenny going in and not her own clothes, like ill-fitting clothes, no makeup, her hair is wet, right? She is stripped down as a photographer. All the things that make us feel powerful and on top of our game, like, she didn't have, all she had was an open heart and a camera, right?
Yeah.
And I want to be Jenny. I want to be that. I want to go into a session so stripped of my ego, in a sense, right? That I am just, my heart's flailed open for story, because the human story is all leading in one direction. Like, we're all walking each other home, right? So if we see every client like Jenny saw Bryson, what will that do to our business? What will it do to our creativity? What will it do to us humans? Because right now we are in a culture where everyone to the right is like far right, and everyone one step to the left is far left. And we're polarized all over the place, right? What would it do to see that person who sees their world a little different as the woman dying in bed from a disease she couldn't conquer, right? Like, there's so much big picture here for us. And I'm sorry, but as creatives, like, we have that heart that can wrestle with these questions. Like, we're made for these questions.
And I think, and that's the crux of it right there. I think when you can run any kind of business in any kind of way, but when you strip everything else away, and take all of that away and all of the expectations, and you just bring it down to you and a camera and witnessing what's in front of you and recording that for the people who love those people, that's, you know, that's what it's about. And I think if you kind of then build your business around that, and no matter in what way it is, whether you're shooting in a studio with, you know, backdrops or posed, or you've got a beautiful client wardrobe, or you're going in completely documentary style. I think at the end of the day, when we're stripping ourselves of right down to just being that camera, that's where, you know, we're able to really serve our clients. And that's where I think the very best photographers, the ones that create such beautiful work in whatever genre and in whatever way, they're really doing that. And I think that that's something that we can all, you know, think about, and think about how we can do that for our clients and going forward.
I'd argue further that beautiful work can be done if you never ascribe to any of this. Your art can be will knock my socks off regardless, right? I just hope for you the satisfaction I feel, you know, and the deep underlying purpose. I would hope that for you. If you don't hope it for yourself, there's other ways to find it. It doesn't have to be, you know, just ascribing to all this, but I have to think of, like, you know, Christmas is coming soon. And I always think of that scene in the Christmas Carol where, like, Marley comes to Scrooge, right? And he's all shackled by, like, I don't know, his agony, you know, what he'd forged himself for life. And he says, mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, benevolence were all my business. You know that scene? And the dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. And I just, like, I don't want to find out too late that truth. You know, I want to live that truth every single day. Marley's truth, I want to live out in business from here to the day I do push back from my computer and send the last gallery. I really, you know, our clients are art, and there's such a freedom in seeing them that way. And just kind of staying small in our picture. I just want to be seen as art when I hire a photographer, right?
Yeah.
Mom said.
Exactly. Oh, I love it. I love chatting with you about this. And for those of you who are listening, you know, if you know, even if you can't come to Unfiltered in 2024 or, you know, 2025 even, like if you can find a way to get to something that will allow you to have this time to sit and think about these questions and talk about it with other people that are running businesses and whatever, I really encourage you to do it. If you are thinking about coming to Unfiltered, you know, we have the wait list on the website, unfiltered.au, because, you know, it's not just about like having a 3-day, 4-day junket. Like, it's about really having a chance to sit and think about these big questions and, you know, reflect on your life and on your business and what you want. And, you know, it's always good, I think, and beneficial to take that time to do that and ask those questions of yourself. And it'll make you a better person. It'll make you a better mother. It'll make you a better parent. It will make you a better business owner. It'll probably just make you a better person. Basically, if you come to Unfiltered, you'll become a better person.
There you go. Wow, that's it. Can that be your tagline?
There you go.
Sign me up. Take my money.
That's a big claim. I know. It's a big.
Oh, we're just all in process. Totally
thank you impressive. So much for chatting with us, Amy.
Thank you, Kylie.
Before
thank
you go, I'd love to say, I'd love to ask you, just if anyone out there is thinking about, and grappling with these questions, what would be your starting point? I know that's a big question. I'm putting you on the spot.
You were breaking up right there, so let me make sure I heard it. Grappling with this question, what would be your starting point is what I heard.
Yeah, like what would you say to people to just, you know, what would be their first step?
I love that. I would write down your expectations, the expectations you bring into sessions. Mm-hmm. You know, this could be that, you know, dad leaves his phone in the pocket, that the family's beautifully connected, that they actually read your client guide, that they send you those 3 paragraphs of things, that they write that review, you know, like just write it out. You'll be surprised. I did this. Like, you'll be surprised how many expectations you're carrying in your heart and bringing into sessions. And potentially those expectations, I would argue, are clouding your vision. So I think awareness is the first step. I would encourage you to sit before a session and just really take pause, like just kind of create like the sacred space to like just really reflect on the family and what you learned of them in your questionnaire. Think about this family and a way you think about your family, hopes and dreams, and tied up in, you know, their rascally kids. Think about, you know, a marriage you know nothing about, but you hope the best for is the foundation of that family. Like just dwell, like actually mm-hmm. dwell on them. Like don't think about them when they show up. Think about them, like pre-vision a family, not the perfect family, just pre-vision what you've learned about them in your questionnaire so that you've almost downloaded them into your heart before they even show up. In doing that, I find however they appear, you know, whatever mood their kids are in, whatever honestly mood the husband and wife are in, as you know, like how many couples yep. fight on the way to a session and it's so clear. So like I'm already in. I'm like, I'm all in on these people before, you know, when I've taken that time and I've forced out all of my stuff, you know, I've kind of mm-hmm. checked my yep. baggage at the door. And then during the session, like, just take yourself aside in a way that you have to as a parent all the time, right? Like we're always like reacting in non-productive yep. ways to our kids. What are those internal reactions? Obviously we're hiding it because we're being professional, but what are those little internal like negative emotions that are bubbling just beneath the surface? Because if you don't take those to task quick, like your work may suffer. Maybe it doesn't. That's what I'm really trying to drive this point home. Your work may not suffer, but your heart will harden, guaranteed, you know, and that hardened, even if it's a tiny bit more hardened heart, you're going to take into the next session and the next. And if you think of that, like every session, you're building just a little more of a callus. Where does that land you in 10 years? So, mm-hmm. And then you know, and then after the session, you're at it again, because now you're having to replay, like all of these images are scrolling by you. You're editing a film for 20 hours and like, you're replaying in your mind all the things, all the disappointments that, you know, the things that went south and didn't go as planned. And again, just set it aside, write it on a piece of paper, rip it up, whatever it takes. Like, yep. Just be so, so very mindful. I think we're so mindful of the art, but we forget that that art comes from a deep place. And when we nurture mm-hmm. that deep place in these ways, like, I think good art will still be produced regardless, but like, maybe truer art that's, I don't know, authentic to the family. It's hard to say that. I don't want to draw those lines. I don't think it's a direct line, you know? I just think you're going to be a generally a happier business owner. How about that?
Yeah. And that's what we all want. There.
That's really what we want, because this is, we spend too many hours at it not to love. Let's not be disenchanted with our businesses. That's not a happy place.
Oh, that's amazing. So, well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Amy. I know that, you know, for a lot of people, it's something that they maybe haven't thought about. It's not a concept that has kind of crossed their mind. And I think it's so great to be able to share that and just give people an opportunity to, you know, think about their business and how they run it and how they deal with their clients in maybe a way they haven't thought about before, because that's always a good thing.
Yeah, it's good for me too. I'm challenged by all of this, but thank you for the conversation.
No worries. And for those of you again who are unsure about how this is going, feel free to reach out to Amy or I. You know, if you're an Academy member, we'd love to chat about this more in the Academy. You know, we're always happy to chat, so you can reach out to us in the Academy or via our websites or social medias, all that. It'll be in the show notes. But yeah, thank you, Amy. And hopefully we will chat again soon.
Look forward to that. Thank you.